Now, as you can tell, the older I get, the more radical I look. I don't know what it is. It's my inner child. But I just can't help but dress the way I dress sometimes. If I dressed this way 30 years ago preaching, it would have been Ichabod, Ichabod. The glory has left the temple. And I would have been struck with lightning. But God seems to have lowered the bar. And so here I am in my craziness. And frankly, the only reason it works is because it's not wearing me. I'm wearing it. Make sure your clothes don't wear you. Just wear them. But on my shirt, you see a phrase, and it's up on the screen there, and they're still working on making that go somewhere. You're going to remember this phrase possibly for years to come, because I want to clarify what I mean. It's obviously on my shirt, too. I got confused and found a patterned shirt and put it on, so no one can really read it, which is my plan, is to make it covert. In other words, you got to get close to me to read my shirt. Come on, somebody. That's why suicide bombers are effective. They get close with dynamite on. And they're not willing to lose their own life to take yours. We must be willing to lose our lives to help others. But some yell it, some tell it. Today, in our nation, 1776, a day of fasting and prayer and humiliation in a good term, not humiliated, happened in our nation, 1776, 250 years ago today. And what are we celebrating this year? The 250th celebration of our independence, July 4th. Some yell it, some tell it. Here's my confession. Nations continue because someone yelled. Nations grew and prospered because someone told. So I'm going to clarify preaching and teaching. Because if God had a choice, I think he'd rather preach than teach. I'm already offended somebody. Somebody's already, you stinking preachers, all you do is go around, preach, preach. Preach has a bad name. There is a dealership in Southern California called Lifestyle Cycles. And I have been going there for years. Again, I have relationships that have lasted a long time. And if I was to walk into Lifestyle Cycles today, they're open 7 days a week, which is, I don't know why God's blessing them, but let's move on. They're open 7 days a week. And if I was to walk in there today, the head mechanic there has been there for a couple of decades. His name is Mikey. If I was to walk in, he would say, preach! And the reason I have that reputation is not because I'm mad. Because that's where we go. Preachers are mad. Teachers are glad. I'm here to elevate preach. Because if you don't get it preached to you, you'll never let it teach you. Preach is thunder and lightning on the mountain, Mount Sinai. Teach is Moses coming down with two tablets. People think the Ten Commandments are preaching. The Ten Commandments are not preach. The Ten Commandments are teach. And so I want to show in Scripture where it shows that God is the God of the preach. In 1 Corinthians, verse 18, we read, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." How many think God's a preacher? I know you're all like, these are loaded comments, preacher. Okay, are you gonna fake me out here, and you're gonna condemn me, and you're gonna make church that place I don't want to go? No. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. Everybody who comes down this freeway and sees the lighted cross at the first exit hardly ever has a neutral response. They either look at that cross and call it foolishness, or they look at that cross and go, what a symbol of the love of God. What the cross means to you tells me if you're foolish or not. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? You know, arguments, YouTube, arguments, Facebook, YouTube, social media, arguments. Do you know that today on the mall in Washington, D.C., there is a day of rededication to the Lord? Thousands upon thousands of believers are descending upon the National Mall right now as we sit in this room. How many knew that? A couple of us knew. That just shows you how big our nation is. And it also shows you how diverse the information lines really are. But today, many different people will stand behind that mic and declare, and I know it feels political, because there ain't many people of that side of the aisle that are there. What do we do with this, you guys? What do we do? It's not easy. And may I submit to you, the best thing we're going to get from a fallen world is a mixed reaction to the authentic moves of God. The first church service ended in a mixed reaction. Think about that. The first church service ended in a mixed reaction among the people. Some people thought it was God. Some people thought it was intoxication. Some people thought they were drunk. Some people thought they were sober. Nothing's changed. The best thing you're going to get and I'm going to get from this world age and this system and the age that we're in is a mixed reaction to an authentic move of God. So if you're looking for a full-on favorable response to whatever you do, quit Christianity. Give it up. You're in the wrong faith system. If you're looking for all men to speak well of you, it won't happen. It can't happen. So I'm just going to get used to being misunderstood. Come on, how many want to be misunderstood? Come on, for the glory of God, not your own flesh, not your flare-ups of your stupid. Because some of us get a mixed reaction because we're all messed up. I'm talking about the foolishness of the cross. Where's the wise? Where's the scribe? Where's the disputer of this age? Has not God made the foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, through the world through wisdom, did not know God, this is a great phrase. This, let's own it. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message teached? No, it's through the message preached. So here I'm going to say it again. Some yell it, some tell it. America only has a future if there's yellers around. This nation has no future unless there's some yellers here. I actually believe that tellers don't have to be courageous, because they can tell this side and tell that side and mix this and mix that, and let's just all get along. Meanwhile, the preacher gets up and says, you must be born again. Period. And the world says, you mean I have to go back into my mother's womb? Because that's what Nick said. Nick at night. When Nicodemus came to Jesus that night, he said, what must I do? And Jesus said, man, you must be born again. And Nick tried to trivialize it. And he said, do I need to go back into my mother? I'm going to tell you right now, you ain't getting to the tell it unless you've passed the yell it. Unless your heart has been changed by the yell. Your mind cannot be renewed with the tell. And so many people are like trying to get taught, but you've never been caught. There ain't no taught without caught. Jesus did not say to Peter, fear not, Peter, from now on you will teach men. He said, from now on you will catch men. Because God's a catcher. And he messes you up for normal. And then you get to move into renewal. But you must experience rebirth before renewal. And people who try to get renewed without rebirth are frustrated with local churches. They're mad at pastors. They get offended at the body. And I'll tell you why people get offended at the body of Christ. Because they don't know the head. When you know the head of the body, and you spend time at the head of the body, who is the head of the body? Christ. Where are the eyes on a body? In the head. Where are the ears on a body? On the head. Where is the mouth in a body? On the head. So if you want to hear what God's saying, you better check out the head. Instead of being offended by the elbow and the kneecap. And the ankle. I'm so offended by the body of Christ. Get a life. And go to the head. And find God. Because the head has the yeller on it and the teller on it. Because Jesus mixed yell and tell in a powerful way. So much so that when they came to Jesus and he began to teach them. Jesus was a great teacher. He wasn't even perceived as a great preacher. So I need to qualify what I'm saying. Some of you are like, Jesus taught as one having authority. It doesn't say he preached as one having authority. Well, here's the good news. If your life has been yelled at with love, then your heart will be open to being taught. And Jesus taught them. Come on, say that with me. Jesus taught them. Say it with me. Jesus taught them. One more time. Jesus taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes and the Pharisees. So 250 years ago today, America called on God in fasting and prayer. And if you were to take a look at the days of prayers throughout our history, you would find that there's dozens, maybe a few dozen days of prayer, of fasting and prayer that this nation declared. And may I submit to you, America is as great as it is because of yellers. Isn't that foolish? No, it's the wisdom of God. It's the wisdom of God. The French Enlightenment. Oh, Lord God, the French Enlightenment. What a problem in some ways. You know what the American Revolution was? It was like the French Revolution with God. Because the French Revolution was enlightenment. We're enlightened. We're tellers. We don't believe in yellers. We don't believe in revelation. We believe in information. you're an information Christian, then you don't know revelation. Because information without revelation is a messed up situation. You're ethical, but you don't know God. You are wonderful, but you don't know Jesus. You are kind and nice at long red lights. And you are gracious. And you are just so behaviorally beautiful. And you're dead in your sin because you thought God was good. But God is God. God is God. God is good. That's way better than God is good. Although we've been singing about the goodness of God. Were you singing about the goodness of God just a minute ago? I was. I was just drinking it in. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. And I'm just so thankful. But if you think that thankfulness comes from goodness, then you don't understand that it comes from Godness. It's not even Godness. That sounded like a cult. God. Mixed reaction. You ready for a mixed reaction? Let me show you a mixed reaction. Days of prayer have a long history in America. Colonists declared days of prayer during droughts, Indian attacks, and threats from other nations. I've already lost some of you right there. Because we're all about, well, who owns the land? You can't occupy stolen land. See, my phone even agreed. He went, do-do-do. Come on, somebody. Come on. If it was stolen, then it was stolen before that. It was stolen. Somebody stole it. Don't get offended. We need to practice radical respect towards every human on the planet. And as far as I'm concerned, this nation does a pretty doggone good job at doing that. Check out the other countries. Check out the other regimes and tell me if we're not awesome. That's a yeller comment. But now let me tell you a comment that will help you with the offensive yelling. Colonists declared days of prayer during droughts, Indian attacks, and threats from other nations. Edward Winslow's record of the Pilgrims' experiences, reprinted in Alexander Young's, stated, drought and the like considerations move not only in every good man privately to enter into examination of his own estate between God and his conscience, and so to humiliation before him, but also to humble ourselves together before the Lord by fasting and prayer. Catch this one. A notable day of prayer was in 1746. When French Admiral Danville sailed for New England, commanding the most powerful fleet of the time. Are you ready? 70 ships with 13,000 troops. He intended to recapture Louisburg, Nova Scotia, and destroy from Boston to New York all the way to Georgia. Massachusetts Governor William Shirley declared a day of the art of warfare. Not a day of prayer and fasting. October 16, 1746, to pray for deliverance. This was the prayer. In Boston's Old South Meeting House, Reverend Thomas Prince prayed, "Send thy tempest, Lord, upon the water. Scatter the ships of our tormentors." Historian Catherine Drinker Bowen related that as he finished the praying, the sky darkened, wind shrieked, and the church bells rang. It's time for church bells again. Instead of the call to Sharia law, where are the church bells? Where are the church bells? This nation has a little bit of time. The church bells rang, a wild, uneven sound, though no man was in the steeple. Sounds like a miracle to me. Now, I know I'll get a mixed reaction from what I just said, but that's all I'll ever get. A hurricane subsequently sank and scattered the entire French fleet, with 4,000 sick and 2,000 dead, including Admiral the Admiral, yeah, okay, let's move on. French Admiral, and the other guy that has that name, threw himself on his sword. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow wrote in his Ballad of the French Fleet, "Admiral had sworn by cross and crown to ravage with fire and steal our helpless Boston town. From mouth to mouth spread the tidings of dismay. I stood in the old South, saying humbly, let us pray. Let us pray. Like a potter's vessel broke, the great ships of the line were carried away as smoke or sank in the brine." May 24, 1774, Thomas Jefferson drafted a resolution of day of prayer and fasting. April 15, 1775, just 4 days before the Battle of Lexington, Massachusetts Provincial Congress, led by John Hancock, declared, "In circumstances dark as these, it becomes us as men and Christians to reflect that, while every prudent measure should be taken to ward off the impending judgments, the 11th of May next to be set apart as a day of public humiliation." That's a beautiful word. Humiliation is a beautiful word. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you and lift you up. You better get used to the word humiliation. But it's not humiliation from someone who humiliates you. It's you humbling yourself before Almighty God. And when we humble ourselves before Almighty God, he shall lift us up. Yeah. Yeah. April 7, 1775, just before the Battle of Lexington. And I've already said that. The 11th of May may be set apart as a day of public humiliation, fasting and prayer, to confess the sins, to implore the forgiveness of all of our transgression. April 17th, I'm not going to keep reading, April 19th, 1775, proclamation of a day of fasting and prayer. On June 12th, 1775, less than 2 months before the battles of Lexington and Concord, there was a fire, the shot heard around the world. The Continental Congress, under President John Hancock, declared, "Congress, considering the present critical, alarming, tumultuous state, do earnestly recommend that Thursday, the 12th of July, next be observed by as a day of public humiliation, fasting, and prayer." July 7, 1775. July 12, 1775. These are all days of prayer. Instituted by the government, thank you very much. On July 19, 1775. On March 16, 1776. On May 15th, 250 years ago today, plus 2 days, General George Washington ordered, "The Continental Congress have ordered Friday the 17th of May instant to be observed as a day of fasting, humiliation, and prayer, humbly to supplant the mercy of Almighty God, that it would please him to pardon all our manifold sins and transgressions, and to prosper the arms of the United Colonies, and finally establish the peace and freedom of America upon a solid and lasting foundation. The governor, the general commands all officers and soldiers to pay strict obedience to the orders of the Continental Congress, that by their unfeigned and pious observance of their religious duties, they may incline the Lord, the giver of victory, to prosper our arms." And today, they're on the mall, calling on the Lord. The most proud president we've ever known will be there. The greatest ego I've ever seen on planet Earth will be there. Mr. No one comes close to what we've done will be there. So, big deal. Since when does a broken vessel disqualify a nation from saying there is a God? And he's made it very obvious he's not him. I don't care what you say, he's not him, and he knows he's not him. And that's between the big H him and the small H him. And the small H him is going to have to submit to the big H him. And Jesus does not have, or God does not have. Well, let's move on. I'm going to get into some pronoun hospitality there, but I decided not to. I picked up a girl the other day in an Uber ride, and she had she, her, him, or she, her, shim, whatever she had. And I'm not trying to be a jerk. She got in my car, and I says, I'm interested by your personal pronouns. Tell me about your personal pronouns. She explained her personal pronouns. Sometimes I feel like this. Sometimes I feel like that. The next ride had personal pronouns also. That hardly ever happens in Oklahoma. There could be two riders with personal pronouns. There were six different identities in my car in two rides. And I'm not trying to be a jerk. Because I'm not a jerk when I meet people. I may sound like a jerk right now preaching, because all I'll get is a mixed reaction to an authentic declaration of God. I don't expect to get full response here. And I'm getting better at it all the time. I must, for the good of your soul, I must. Yell it! And then tell it. Because it's so easy to tell people the way to live if they've responded to the one who gives life. Well, her mom was a witch. She was Wiccan. I mean, you could even tell when I drove up to get their car. Their coexist, all kinds of bumper stickers all over the back of the car. You could tell where they were coming from. And the car was, it hadn't been driven in a long time. The wheels were half flat. And the tree had kind of grown over the car. I thought, this is going to be interesting. She's a substitute teacher. I asked her what she does. I'm a substitute teacher. I says, well, how you doing with those kids? Oh, they hate me. They are so disrespectful. Kids telling me this, that. I says, do you tell them about your belief system? She says, no, I'd get fired. I thought that's, yeah, okay. I picked her up again a month later. Alex is her name. Hello, Alex. She tipped me. Christians don't tip. But personal pronoun people do. Do you get my point? The point is, you must see. You must look into the hearts of people. And Christians tip. But sinners seem to tip better. Maybe they don't think they have any future, so they give away their money. I don't know. Who knows? Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. So I'm going to wrap this up. Should I read the scripture? Where's the wise? Where's the scribe? Verse 20. Where's the disputer of this age? Has not God made the foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God. You will not know God through wisdom. You cannot know God through enlightenment. There is no enlightenment. You will not know God because you figured out how to make things, how to build things, how to make roads. You will not know God through wisdom. You will know God through foolishness, the foolishness of the message preached. For the Jews, this is Jesus, this is John No, who is it? It's Paul, the apostle. He's talking. For Jews request a sign. So that's called labeling. But it's a label they need to own. Those Jews. I love the Jews. I don't know about you, but Jewish hatred is so alive and well. And they are unique. They are unique. Factually, they're unique. And Greeks seek after wisdom. But we teach. Teach. There's this thought, and there's that thought. And then there's this way of looking, and there's that way of looking. Teach. Preach! Now let me say it in a nicer voice. Preach! Preach!
Preach!
The tonal police are out. Oh, you said that in the wrong tone. When people don't want truth, they blame it on tone. Am I right, sir? Oh, their tone was wrong. Give them a break. They've got a heavy message on their heart. It's called life and death, heaven or hell. You must not let your tone disqualify you from your teach and your preach. But we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, a stumbling block, and that's why they're so offended by the story of the resurrection. The Jewish people, they hate that story. They hate it. Jews today, I mean, you saw it over there in, was it Cyprus or somewhere, where there's a, Jesus was off on a cross. And an Israeli soldier was just hacking at the head of Jesus. You know what I think of that man? Nothing bad. I just say he's got a veil on, man. He's just got a veil on. It's not a face mask. It's blinders. To the Jews, the stumbling block, and to the Greeks, foolishness. But to those who are called, could we say that phrase together? But to those who are called. Do you feel called? Do you feel called? When he called you, did you answer? Did you pick up the line and go, yes, Jesus, I took your call. I didn't send it to voicemail. I took the call. I'm going to tell you right now, and I'm wrapping up because that precious child is letting me know time is up. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Now, here's a list of the people God chooses. Are you ready? You're not going to be encouraged, but be encouraged spiritually. For you see your calling, brethren, not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. So if you're wise in the flesh, okay, if you are mighty and noble, but God has chosen the foolish thing. So if on your application form you are foolish, there's hope. To put to shame the things that are wise, and God has chosen the weak things. If you are weak, you might qualify. It gets worse. The list gets worse. It goes downhill. To put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world. In other words, your vehicle has no options on it. You are a base model. Does anybody feel like your life does not have power windows? How many feel like your life has no air conditioning? You're a Yugo without any options. You're not even a Chevrolet. You're just a Yugo. And the things which are not. Isn't that cool? God says, here's this question. Are you not? Because if you are, you're out. Big boy. God does not choose. chooses people that aren't what the world says is what you need to be to qualify. Now, I know our president talks about smart people and dumb people, the Democrats. That's his new phrase for Democrats, dumb-o-crats. He's a piece of work, and he makes fun of people. And I don't think it's, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it like that. Who cares? Don't let the tone keep you from truth. And here's the bottom line. That no flesh shall glory in his presence. And let me tell you, if you think that our leadership are all flesh, then you can rest assured God will deal with them. Because no flesh shall glory in his presence. Can I share this with you? Here we go. When that butler, did the butler do it? In Butler, Pennsylvania. I'm getting butlers mixed up with butler. In Butler, when that bullet grazed his ear, you can't make that happen. You can't sink a French Navy because you prayed. Oh, yeah, you can. Oh, yeah, you can. But you don't want to because it's out of your control. And I hate things that are out of my control. I hate it when I'm out of control. But my spirit rises and goes, let God be God. Look what the Lord has done. So what did our president do when he got up from the ground? Did he say, teach? Teach. Teach. He didn't even say, preach. 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 But the cousin of preach is fight. 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 Not in the flesh. For our warfare is not against the flesh. So don't not fight because you don't like the category you get to fight in. And don't lose your cool and get into a category of fighting that he's never required of you. Don't be a jerk. Be nice to personal pronoun people. Unless they force you and tell you, you must call me what I want. And I go, well, you know, you're just not being very nice about it. So why don't we just keep calling you what your biological reality is? Sir! If you come at me with, I'm almost done. Unity. Why do we think that we're going to have unity? Forget it. Unity is reserved for God's sovereignty, and it's going to come. There's two kinds of unity, given unity and ultimate unity. Given unity is the unity you're supposed to practice toward your brothers and sisters and to the human race. Show love, show respect, show all those things. That's what unity is. My unity, it must be to honor you. But unity at the level of what we all think exactly the same, we have the same opinions, and forget it, it's not going to happen. When Jesus says they shall all be one, he wasn't talking about 19 or 2026. So our unity must be in our hearts towards one another. Like my unity towards all of you. If I got along with you, we'd have a blast. Because I would listen to you. And I would honor you. And I know you would honor me. Preach. is like SEX. Teach is like the pregnancy that happens. And the preach can happen in a moment. The pregnancy, it's with you for the rest of your life. So don't abort it. We must lead with the yell. And I don't mean volume. I mean conviction. Are you a yeller? Not personality style. Not explanatory style. I'm talking about, are you a yeller? Meaning you've got the revelation. Because then you can spend the rest of your life being a teller of the goodness of God. Some tell it, some yell it. I was in the Sturgis coffee shop yesterday morning preparing my notes. Girl looked at me. I liked her shirt. It said something on it. And so we started talking about my shirt, because I was wearing this, although not the camouflage one, the green one. Some are like, is this a commercial? Absolutely. Some of you need to wear that. And when people ask you, what the heck does that mean? Share that. So the lady in the coffee shop says, I like your shirt. I says, thank you. She says, I work for the government. That would be a good shirt for the government too. My body is a billboard. So is yours. You don't need to wear a shirt. Your countenance is your communicator. Your eyes. Preaching targets the heart, teaching goes for the ear. And ears can be itching. Got to watch people try to do the itching thing. I don't like the way he said that. Let me go find a preacher that I like his thoughts. Watch it. Itching ears is scary. Heart religion versus liturgical practice. Ethical obedience to the teachings of Christ without the preaching of the cross is nothing more than vain religion. Preaching is God's truth coming through your personality. Do you know there's a guy named George Whitefield who came from England, preached 18,000 sermons, and he rode a horse and read books. He changed America. There was 18 colonies. In 17... right around 17 something there, right there. March 1736, at the age of 22, Whitefield felt the Samuel, like Samuel at the altar. They say he transformed the pulpit into a sacred theater. His first sermon was published in London at 23 years of age. He died at 55. John Wesley died at 88. You know what revival was called before it was called the Great Awakening? Revival was called the Great Clamor. Negative. The Great Noise. Negative. The first church service. They're drunk. Before something comes great, it becomes ridiculed. Before there's a Great Awakening, there's a Great Clamor. The first Great Awakening in the United States of America happened in the 1700s. The second Great Awakening was in the 1800s. And guess who followed George Whitefield? Jonathan Edwards, who brought teach to the preach that George Whitefield brought to the nation. This man, David Hume, the famous Enlightenment figure, thinker, paid Whitfield the most ingenious preacher, called him the most ingenious preacher he had ever heard. Watch this. This is scary. He was asked, "You don't believe what he says, do you? You must be born again." That was his message. "You must be born again. You don't believe what he says, do you?" asked Dave of David Hume. And David Hume says, "No, I don't believe it. But he does." Do you want to be effective? You better believe what you're talking about. 75% of all Americans saw George Whitefield at the time. 75% of all Americans saw him. 18,000 sermons. And then he died. And our nation is where it's at in some degree because of his great, great input into our nation. He was the superstar of America. He, America's spiritual founding father, galvanized the colonies that identify themselves as a unified nation in order to usher in the great American Revolution. This nation was founded on the yell. And let's not make fun of it. Because if you can't yell it, then you will have no authority to tell it. I declare it. Father, we thank you for our great nation. We are, first of all, citizens of another kingdom. We're very aware of that. Lord, we are not Americans first, Canadians first. We are Christians first. And we're not gonna make a country Christian in that regard. But we thank you for our heritage, and we thank you for our roots, and we thank you for days of prayer that have been established by our government over the decades. We thank you. I thank you for Sturgis. I thank you for Believers Fellowship. I thank you for those that have been faithful, 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 fruitful for the kingdom of God. Lord, I speak blessing upon this fellowship. And may something that has been said today never be forgotten. That our hearts would be cut so that our minds can be renewed. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for VBS. Thank you for Camp Selah. Thank you, Lord, that this church has always invested in what's coming, in helping younger lives to hear the yell it so they can spend the rest of their lives growing from the tell it. That we would be a born-again people, that we may be renewed in our minds, transformed by the renewing of our minds, but born again by the Spirit of God. We declare these things now in the name of Jesus. Thank you for allowing me to yell. Thank you for allowing me to yell.